listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Okay, it's Childish Gambino, homegirl, drop it like the NASDAQ. Move white girls like there's coke up my ass crack. Move black girls, cause man, fuck it, I'll do either. I love pussy, I love bitches, man, I should be running Peter in Adidas with some short shorts. B-O-O-R over me, my green is where it's supposed to be. Your green is in my grocery. This Asian dude, I stole his girl and now he want that Koji beef. My dick is like an accent mark, it's all about that over E. Hot like a parked car. I sound weird like nigga with a hard R. Fly like the logo for my cousin's 440. Eating Oreos like these white girls that blow me. Vodka for my ladies. Whiskey for a grown man. Hanging in the alleys looking for Earl like Toe Jam. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod Ed.
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Saturday.
Yes, we are.
Saturday, man. Feedback time. Million White Women's March time.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now.
Going all up and down the timeline. Mm-hmm. Everybody mad. Everybody arguing. Black women and LGBTQ women and marginalized women speaking out. And then white women on the timeline like, hey, you're being divisive. It's so good. I was scheduled to speak, but I'm not going to speak at the Million Women's March. Because, you know, me and several other men, we was going to go out there and let these ladies know some things, but we decided against it. So I am gonna speak at the march tomorrow though. So that's the Steve Harvey A Million Women Clean All This Shit Up march. Mm-hmm. We supposed to go out there and get these ladies to work doing what they supposed to be doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not attending nobody's march.
It's gonna be real respectable tomorrow, and I expect to see you ladies out there.
You won't see me
marching and cleaning. We gonna bring the brooms and
dust bucket.
Yep. And now this one will be only for brown women. Okay, so we won't be expecting any white women to show up to the march to clean everything up. But ladies, let's get in formation. Mm-mm. And get out here and get to sweeping up the cities. All right, guys.
I'm not doing a goddamn thing.
Well, okay, all right. I guess the cities will just be horrible. Okay,
I guess they will.
I mean, there's a lot of destruction out there. I saw white people was fucking up the Starbucks. They was mad as hell about Donald Trump and broke a Starbucks windows and shit. And I'm like, here you go, fucking up your own neighborhoods, and then y'all expect us to sympathize with you?
What about that white on white crime?
If you don't like who the president is, why don't you go back to Europe? Okay? I mean, nobody asked for your ass to come here in the first place.
What about the kids in Wisconsin?
Yeah, what about the kids in Wisconsin? What about them? All that cheese on cheese violence and stuff they got going out there?
Come on, take care of your own house.
Your damn Route 14 called the Cheeseheads, but you want us to feel bad because y'all broke your Starbucks? I don't think so.
Mm-mm, I don't feel bad. I'm sorry. All
coffee matters to me. Okay, so
all lattes matter to me.
Mm-hmm, you guys can pick whichever lattes you support. Mm-hmm. But as far as we're concerned, they're all the same. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't even see.
Mm-mm. All frappes matter to me.
I don't see caffeine. Okay. Of course, this is the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews, and if we like them, we'll read them live on the show. And if we don't, then we won't. Just put it on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also vote in the polls. That's right. This is a feedback show, so we're going to read your comments on the votes in the polls. Your comments on the episode. We're going to read your emails, theblackouttips@gmail.com. We're going to read, we're going to play some voicemails. We got 3 today. So, I mean, it's a full slate of feedback today. And, what a better time to spend with us when you're not out there marching with the white ladies. Okay, guys. I guess the first place we should start is with the people that, donated. Okay. And, you know, we can't do the donations without a little bit of that choir music. Okay, play me, come on, play me. Why does it take so long? I see she do it and she tell me no.
But baby, please, I really want that booty hole. All I want for my birthday is my girl booty hole. All I want for my birthday is my girl booty hole. When I drop on it, have a door and tell me no.
Thank you for Rap is a Joke for bringing us some needed tunes in this time of sadness. Let's give these people shout outs. Kimberly W, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Kimberly.
Hey, baby.
And she's a brand new recurring donator, so you can go to the new members class.
Never heard of that.
Rosalie V, recurring donator.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, baby.
Tanya S, recurring donator. Dana W, recurring donator. Thank you. Wonga, you know Wonga from Down Under with the recurring donation. Alexis H, recurring donator. Thank you, Alexis. Corey the Tickler, recurring donator. Thank you, Corey.
Yes.
Conrad, you know, the official first time recurring donator of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas DG hit us with that recurring donation. Thank you much, Lucas. Tabitha M, recurring donator. We got a brand new recurring donator in Brianna F. Brianna F. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Chris from Hawaii, recurring donator. Thank you, Chris. Brina H, recurring donator. Thank you, Brina. Got a one-time donation from Nasha, who says, the closer we get to the inauguration, the less TV I can watch. Thank you all for keeping me informed on world events. Thank you for supporting this classy, classy show. Sarah D, recurring donator. Thank you, Sarah. And she's a brand new recurring donator. So, Sarah, you in the new members class. Man, quite a few of y'all this week. Kalfani G, recurring donator. That's also a brand new recurring donator. What? Y'all niggas getting y'all tax returns? What is going on?
Glad. Everybody was like, fuck Donald Trump, here's some money.
Right. That's like, you know what? We're going to need y'all to not have anything happen.
Mm-mm.
Lord, put a blessing over them. Jacqueline H, recurring donator. Thank you. And she's brand new. Film Press Comics, of course. Ricky A, recurring donator. Thank you, Ricky. Pretty Ricky, what they call him. Michelle P, recurring donator. David from Brooklyn, recurring donator, of course. Got a one-time donation from Catherine F. Shout out to New York. I'm from New York. Pop off. Anthony Van D, recurring donator. Pete B, recurring donator. Renate M, recurring donator. Of course, Olivia from Chicago. And that's it, guys. So, wow, that was a lot, man. Thank you so much for supporting this.
We do thank you so much. We sorry that the other congregations lost you, but we
oh,
glad.
Oh, come on, Karen. You hating on our congregation.
But baby, please, I really want that booty hoe. All I want for my birthday is my girl booty hoe. All I want for my birthday is my girl booty hoe.
I really love that spirited congregation.
I don't.
Thank you so much.
No.
All the way from, I'm assuming, what can only be Atlanta.
Have a safe trip up 85 going up the booty hole.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I wasn't dishing our congregation. I'm just saying, you know, people have left other flocks and decided to come this way, and so I'm not mad at them for joining our congregation.
Oh yeah, somebody was on actually on Twitter, no joke, was talking about how she had stopped listening to the Young Turks and she was glad she found us, and I was like, I'm glad you found us too, you know, because it's real out there, man. Like, a lot of these allies and friends and all these people are really fucking anti-black. I mean,
yes, they are.
You know, it's bad enough you get it from your own people sometimes,
right?
You know, in different ways, but then some of these spaces, man, they don't be thinking about us at all.
Mm-mm.
And only whenever they do think of us, they just think we in the way. So I'm glad that people are able to kind of find a home in us.
Yes, that means a lot. And yeah, I know we're gonna talk more tomorrow about the white women's marches. Yeah, I've got thoughts about that.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot imagine wanting to talk about them tomorrow, so you might as well get it out now.
Okay. Oh, no problem. I didn't know who was
it's not
about
all
tomorrow.
No,
okay.
I haven't there's no articles. I mean, maybe
on
some
the agenda tomorrow.
Maybe some shit is fucked up and then we'll be talking about it tomorrow if there's like, because it's happening right now, so whatever they're fucking up, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah,
but you know, if you go ahead, shoot your shot.
Yeah, I guess my feelings about this march is that, like I said, it's a white woman's march. And there are black women that support it, and I have no problem with black women supporting it. I know a lot of black women went out there. They went out there in numbers and things like that. But when you look around, overall, it's a sea of whiteness, and that speaks volumes. There are a lot of black groups and organizations that said they will not participate, because when they got this together, like everything else, when black women start voicing their opinion about diversity, voicing their opinion about underrepresentation, all of it, suddenly it becomes, well, you niggas shut up. And the thing about a lot of these white women is out there mad and upset, to my, we're not gonna take it. Y'all motherfuckers voted for Trump. You know what you should have did? You should have went your ass out there and voted for Hillary Clinton instead of making fucking private Facebook goddamn groups. Because you could not talk to your family or friends about motherfucking supporting her. Because it was that goddamn important to you, you would have got your ass in the motherfucking booth and voted, and your ass wouldn't be at that goddamn marching right now. Because all of a sudden, for a lot of you women, it became, oh my God, he won. Oh my God, he won. And now, a lot of women that actually voted for him, because everybody, all them millions and millions of women out there, everybody did not vote for Hillary Clinton. You can't tell me they did. All of a sudden, they're afraid because their rights are being motherfucking taken away now. So now, we want to go out here because all of a sudden, our rights are being taken away, and come along, niggers. You know, that's kind of how I view it. I might be wrong, but in my opinion, that's how I view it. Because if it was all about all women's rights and things like that, there'd be a lot more diversity. Not that it's not diversity out there, and not that it's not diversity showing up, but overall it's a sea of whiteness with a few brown spots in it, and people are recognizing that. And then when people point that out, all of a sudden I'm considered something wrong with me for telling you it's not enough brown people out there, it's not enough diversity. And I, you know, and it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of these marches and things like that, if they've had people speaking, you know, they may have people of all ethnicities speaking, but overall, a lot of these are ran by white women, you know, they don't want to hear anybody else's opinion. They don't want to hear, all they want you to do is show up in numbers. You know, they want your support in numbers, but they really don't want your opinions. They want you to march and make everything look pretty for social media, but when it's time to voice opinion, when it's time to stand up for things that affect LGBTQ and Muslims and all these other groups, are you really there, or are you really mad because this motherfucker said grab him in the pussy and all of a sudden the pussy was yours, so it became a motherfucking problem at that point in time, you know? And it's one of the things where the black people that do go and do support, you know, this march, I hope that they are out there demanding for more diversity, because the thing is, we do need to be out there, but we do also need to demand diversity and say, look, y'all, this is all white, and yeah, I'm here, and it's gonna be a problem, and y'all gonna hang out today, you know? Because if you don't do that, we will continue to be whitewashed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think the march is happening right now, so we don't know. Right. Like, maybe their speakers are diverse. Maybe, I mean, you know, they did go and get, after the horrible idea that we laughed at on the show, November 11th, I think, they went up some black and brown people to, some women to, like, kind of organize it. So it might be a completely different idea than what you think at this point. I mean, that's why you bring in organizers and stuff. And, even with all that, there's so many diverse interests, you're not going to satisfy everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people's interests are so specific, it almost could be its own march. That's just how much people have going on in their lives, you know? So, there's no one, that's the problem on the left, is you want to build a tent that houses everybody. The problem is, there is no everybody. Everyone is divided. That's just the way it is. We have a few common interests, and you try to concentrate on that. But in general, it's a losing battle, and it's never going to work to get everybody on the same page just because of the way society is. Nobody's going to care about people they don't feel they have to. So you have to raise a stink and you have to be very vocal to make them care, because you're really just making it inconvenient for them. And if you make it inconvenient and you fuck up the optics, then they'll have to capitulate to your point of view. But you're not relying on them to have a genuine understanding of what you're talking about. That being said, they've made steps. I don't think anything is, that's this big, is gonna just be perfect. I don't think it's not gonna be good enough. I think the general sentiment that a lot of people feel, especially a lot of black women I'm seeing, is like, look man, 53% of y'all voted for this motherfucker, right? of the people that voted, 53% of y'all did this.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't really want to even be around you. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but it's not like they making people go, but it's like, y'all are getting all the attention right now. The fucking, it's on every channel. It's in every city. You know, when, I think Leslie and Michelle, Feminist of Jones, when they like did like the MLK sit-in, you know, was it getting CNN coverage? Was MSNBC, you know, showing it on loop in the middle of the day? I mean, part of this is a resentment to the access that just comes with this shit, though.
Right.
You know, like, I actually feel bad for those organizers to a certain extent, and I really hope they're getting some coins out of this, because I know that they're gonna catch any blame. Like, they will make sure it falls at their feet. So if something does go wrong, if there's a speaker that people don't like, if there's a person that people feel shouldn't be talking, the people who are either the money people or the people who originally came up with this idea and hired them or whatever, they're for sure gonna be on some like, well, these black women must have fucked up. I mean, hey, they picked the speakers or something, like, you know, like, it's their event, bro. We're just here to support, you know. It's gonna turn into some shit like that, and it's just inevitable because it's messy and it's bad, and we've been inundated with so many stories since the election of just regretful ass white people that I don't give a fuck about.
Me either.
You know, I have no sympathy for these people. But the PR machine behind them is so powerful, you can't avoid it.
Right.
I am a teacher, and I had stage 27 HIV, and I said, fuck Obamacare, even though it was covering everything for free, you know, whatever the reason, you know. He spoke about Trayvon Martin, and I said, I'll keep my Affordable Care Act, but fuck Obamacare. We just keep getting, and it's like, they're only giving y'all attention because these are the white faces hurt by this. But there are so many black and brown faces, LGBTQ faces, Muslim faces, Latino faces. There are so many other people that have been injured by this shit. And it's only when the injury is showing up in the ranks of whiteness that we start to have the conversation in the media. And I think that is something that can't be avoided with this march. And right. that's just where it's going. Like, they could have had the march the day after the election. They could have had the march the day before the election. They could have had the march fucking tomorrow. You know what I mean? 4 years from now, it will always be a problem, because once these white people start participating, it's going to be on some like, one, where the fuck y'all been? Because motherfuckers been marching since bodies was in the street. Y'all didn't care about that shit.
No.
And then two, why y'all get all the, why is, as much as the attention is needed, it's telling that all the attention comes because y'all decided.
Right. You decide it's important. So now the cameras show up. Now the media show up. Now it's getting coverage. Now you want to have conversations. Now you want to have all these crying ass white women on your TV talking about they're against Trump and all this stuff. And my thing is that for a percentage of them, it's sincere. It's very sincere. They've been fuck Donald Trump since the very beginning. But also, it's a lot of people in there that fucking voted for Donald Trump. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's too many white women, and white women voted against him at a large clip. Polls have showed it. So
you mean voted for him?
Yeah, voted for him. Polls have showed it. Yeah. Y'all voted for
at
him.
At a larger clip than anybody else.
You right.
Know? I mean, of the women, I mean, white men voted even more.
Right.
For him.
And it's one of those things where I'm going, okay, yeah, to me, a lot of this, and like I say, for me, And I know we're talking in real time, so by the time we talk tomorrow, my views on this may change once
I don't know if it's views. I mean, it's emotional,
right?
You know, right. I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to, because I know people are going to hear it and feel like it's pejorative, but I don't mean it pejoratively. I don't know that this the most quote unquote rational way to look at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to have black speakers and they're going to have black women and they're going to have black organizers. I'm not trying to say in the aggregate that what they're doing is a bad thing. I just know how I feel, and right. I resented the idea of it from jump. Like, it just felt like too little, too motherfucking late. So I'm trying to remove myself from it, to be honest. Like, honestly, like, I haven't talked about it on social media. I've tried not to retweet any of that shit. The only thing I thought was funny was, you know, the dude Donald Trump's fired from the inauguration announcements. Mm-hmm. He showed up at the Women's March, so I thought that was funny, because, you know, the whole march is hating on him and shit. But then I saw he was on a mic, so I was like, y'all let that nigga talk? Like, couldn't y'all have just, like, used him like a prop? Like, you know, just been like, hey, he's here, you know, shout out. Like, do we really need a speech or whatever? But, you know, it's not my march. I didn't organize it. I really fucking hate when people second guess people that are trying to do shit in a positive way. You know, like, I hate when they do it to people that I know, and I hate when I see people that are in the aggregate doing more good than harm, but it ain't perfect, and then people go in on them like, you shouldn't have did shit at all. So I don't want to do that to these people, these women of color. I don't want to do it to the people speaking this shit. But what I will say, it's just not for me. It's like, the time to be mad was so fucking long ago, and I just, all this just feels like Johnny come lately bullshit. And like, it doesn't feel helpful. It doesn't feel like anything will come from this that will actually stop what the Republican agenda is or what Donald Trump is. It doesn't feel like y'all were able to do this for your girl Hillary, who's also a white woman. So now y'all want to come through, and it's just like, I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. Like, it all feels like, you know what I mean?
Right. And I think for me, I am speaking from a very emotional place, being a black woman, being that my group got information, my group right. voted, we did what the fuck we were supposed to do. Where was y'all bitches at then? Like, that, like, and I think that's coming from a very angry place. It's like, okay, he's in office now, a lot of this shit's too late. Okay, everybody's crying right now, everybody's emotional right now, everybody's in their feelings right now, everybody's marching all over the world right now. Okay, cool, but what are you gonna do in your local district in the next 2 years? What are you gonna do the next 4 years? What are you gonna do to be sure this motherfucker is a one-term president? What are you going to do? Because this march isn't gonna mean a motherfucking thing if you do not get your asses in the booth, if you do not go to your local district and demand that they, because a lot of stuff that they pass affects you instantly, and a lot of times a lot more quicker than these fucking federal laws. Are y'all gonna go and demand that your mayors and your city councils and your school leaders, you know, don't pass fucking LGBTQ right shit, they don't pass laws about abortion, they don't, you know, all this fucking ridiculous shit I'm seeing, you know, are y'all gonna show up in these same numbers? Are y'all gonna stand outside City Hall and march and protest then? Or are you just taking this trip just for a motherfucking spectacle? It's not gonna mean a goddamn thing. And I think that's where my frustration comes out, because at the end of the day, now for some of these women, it's gonna make a change, it's gonna make a difference, they're gonna go home, they're gonna be motivated, it's rah, 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 rah. Okay. But for a large percentage of a lot of these white women, and a lot of them voted for Trump, not gonna change a motherfucking thing. And that's when my fucking frustration come out in this situation, because you have black women marching for shit for years. We don't get the same coverage. We're not all over the news. You don't want to put cameras in our face. You don't want to talk about a motherfucking thing that we're angry about. But all of a sudden, these quote unquote white saviors stand up for all womankind, and all of a sudden, it becomes a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, I think, I totally agree with you. I totally see where you're coming from. I think it's just, like I said, and that's that's part of the problem with being pragmatic sometimes, because I'm like, so this is just the biggest safety pin in the world for a lot of people, right? Like, this is just the biggest I'm one of the cool white people marches or whatever, and that's just how I feel. I don't know, like I said, that's just how I feel. I don't have the data to back that up. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not really watching it. I'm kind of avoiding it the way I avoided the inauguration. I don't, right. This feels, and I don't expect everybody to understand where I'm coming from or agree with me, but this shit feels like the inauguration to me is too. Yes. Like, I don't want to watch it or participate in it or hashtag it or comment on it, anything beyond like a joke or something, because it just feels like there's nothing we can do about it, and all this shit is gonna come to pass, and these people will not feel as mad, and I expect to see an erosion in white women riding, because essentially whiteness will protect those women, essentially, you know, in a lot of cases, not everyone, blah blah blah. Matter of fact, if you've been listening to any of this and had to feel the not all, don't do it.
Yeah, don't write us.
But it will be like, for the most part, I feel like white people will be able to kind of like regress, or to just like they're angry today, they're right. They're really embarrassed, because for a nation we look stupid.
Yes.
And then the things that protect them will start being in place, and they won't be nearly as angry in 2 years or right. 4 years when we need them,
and they're gonna vote the way they've always been voting, and because honestly they're okay with the status quo.
Yeah.
White women in general, white women as a whole, white women TM, are overall majority are okay with the status quo. White people overall are okay with the status quo, because overall the status quo doesn't challenge them. The status quo tell them you could be mediocre and okay. The status quo tells them that any problems or anything that happens in your life is always somebody else's problems but yours. That's normally what the status quo in general tells you, and you have to look beyond that and realize that the world is bigger than that, and that the world is more diverse than just you, and that there are other people suffering and doing without a lot of time based on the white supremacy that you've been actually taught. And it's not your fault. And I think a lot of times, once you go where you have white privilege and stuff like that, instead of a lot of white people examine themselves, they automatically get defensive. Go, nah, I ain't got no white privilege. Well, yes, you do. Studies and statistics show it, but unless you're willing to open up your eyes and look beyond that and buck against the grain that you've have been taught since you've been a child, it's going to be very hard for you to see it. And as people from other groups see it, and once you get to a certain point, especially my age, you go, I don't have fucking time to explain white supremacy to you. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. If you don't understand it by now, fuck you. Let's move on. Like, I'm sorry. I'm still gonna be marching. I'm still gonna be protesting. You still gonna be confused and not understand why.
Yeah, this, a lot of this just feels like, welcome to the conversation. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you mad late, and it's fucking annoying, because if you had felt this strongly before now, he wouldn't be president.
Correct.
You know, it's just that I don't have a better way to put it into words, honestly. And like, yeah, I said,
that's what a lot of my
it is an emotional on. Thing, because I'm fucking exhausted, man. I couldn't even watch the inauguration.
Oh no,
I refuse.
No.
You know,
mm-hmm. Not and, 1 second of it.
One of the things I said was, because I saw pictures on Twitter and shit, and everybody was laughing because they were like, look how empty it is. Ha ha, this nigga's inauguration is whack. And the final tally of the numbers was like, Obama in 2008 had 1.8 million people show up. Obama in 2012 had 1 million people show up. Donald Trump had 250,000. And I actually wrote a piece on the Medium. I don't normally write. It's not very long. I mean, it takes like a minute or two to read, but I wrote something about it, because at first I wrote it on my Facebook page and I copied and put it on the Medium. But I was like, that's because, like, y'all laughing and you think it's funny and you think, oh, he didn't get the ratings and that's gonna do something to him. I don't believe that at all. I don't think he's a person that is not swayed by a lack of facts, or you know what I mean? Like, he's a person that just goes, yeah, but no one wants to perform at my inauguration, well, I'm just gonna tell these stupid dummies that I don't want them at my inauguration. And then everybody goes, but it's obvious, we can see it. It's like, nigga, he's been doing that for over a year.
Mom,
why do you think this will be the time that he goes, wow, no one wanted to watch my inauguration, I guess I'm gonna have to be a good president. Get fuck out of here. So one of the things that I was thinking was, it's because those empty seats to me are scarier than the people showing up.
Right.
Because if the people showed up, there's an attachment of their face to it.
Yes.
There's a reality that sinks in. The man lost by only 3 million votes. Now, people keep going, well, that's a lot of people, and that's a big gap, and that's, he lost the popular vote. No candidates ever won losing popular vote that much. That's not the point. The point is this. If 56 million people supported Hillary Clinton, 53 million supported Donald Trump. That's way more than it takes to fill up D.C. and make it look like it's lit on Inauguration Day.
Right.
But they didn't show up to the inauguration. Right? Because everybody expects Donald Trump fans to have the big red trucker hats, and they expect them to be the people that filled up the arenas in Ohio and shit. And I'm not saying you're wrong. A lot of those people either couldn't afford to go,
right,
or at some point they never had the expectation he would win, so, or whatever the fuck, and they're not the take a trip to black ass chocolate city DC types anyway. Mm-mm. But here's the thing for me. Everyone thinks Donald Trump supporters are Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, no.
They think they're the, I'm gonna go on TV and say a bunch of lying bullshit and sound crazy, and then people laugh at me, but you know what, my candidate won. That's what everybody thinks they are. Everyone thinks they are that. But you know who else is a Donald Trump supporter? Tom Brady.
Yes.
Tom Brady's a Donald Trump supporter. He had that Make America Great Again hat in his locker. He called Donald Trump after the inauguration. When he's asked about Donald Trump in press conferences, he changes the subject and goes, why don't we just keep it to football? Mm-hmm. Even though he's the one that invited the questions by having his fucking hat in his locker. Tom Brady didn't show up at the inauguration.
Of course not.
Yeah. Bill Belichick wrote a letter to Donald Trump. You know, Robert Kraft, you know, the Patriots owner, they support Donald Trump. That's also the people that support Donald Trump. There's a lot of people that know not to show their fucking face, right? Because celebrities didn't come out. You think celebrities don't support him, or do you think celebrities don't want to lose that check supporting him?
Right, they're not trying to commit career suicide.
Right, so it's very difficult to, like, I know how people want to be like, laugh, you know, at this idea of this farce. It ain't funny.
It sure is not.
They've already struck down so much shit from just the White House website, like, oh, disabilities, nope. Worried about you know, the community policing and shit, nope. Oh, you want to know something about LGBTQ, nope. Like, they just stripped it down and they put up a fucking, like, Melania Trump is selling watches, I'm not joking, QVC watches ad is on the fucking whitehouse.org website. This is America 2017. In so many ways, it is fitting and appropriate that this is America 2017, but then also in so many ways, it's such a fucking mockery and a sham of the resistance and the change and the progress that has been made. You know, like, I'm not a very patriotic, nationalistic person. You know, I'm not even really attached to the city I'm born in. Like, real talk, that's all luck, you know, wherever you're born. But one thing is, I do know that my ancestors believed in the promise of this country, and I know that they died to make the country change, and I know many people put their lives into it, and it's not about worshiping the country, but a lot of people believe in what it's supposed to be and what it can be. And there's a lot of people that I feel like got let down by the fact that people just didn't give a fuck.
Right.
And chief among those people that didn't give a fuck in this hierarchy are gonna be white women. This is what it is. Like, yeah, they didn't give a fuck until now, you know? And for those who did give a fuck, there were far and few between. And by giving a fuck, I mean, I'm not just saying, well, some of y'all did vote for her. I'm saying there's people that, like you said, they voted for her and they had a private Facebook group. Right. They voted for her, but they wouldn't talk to nobody. They're the people that want to have a march and then invite the feminist quote unquote group that is, anti-choice. Like, what, because we don't want to ostracize anybody. Like, nigga, it's already over. That game is over. You can't be friends with everybody. And I'm just not, I don't feel like America's ready to fight back. Until people stop thinking that all that old shit is gonna work, you know.
Right. I'm to the point to where I'm to the point to where I'm tired overall in general of white people not wanting to fight racism, and that's the truth. A lot of people, you know, they talk about MLK, they talk about people back in the day. A lot of this shit would not have moved forward unless white people helped, period. I'm not talking about help behind the scenes. I'm talking about help, be very vocal and be like, we're not going to take this. There, you know, there are people too, come out and buck against the system and literally fight also. And I think that we live in a country now where a lot of white people, once you start talking about racism, everybody backs away, even well-meaning white people.
I mean, look at the response. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. But look at the responses on Twitter today. It's anytime a black woman says something, one of these motherfuckers jumps up like, why are you being divisive? It's fucking impossible to watch, dog. I can't imagine experiencing it. It's impossible for me to watch without wanting to cuss one of these motherfuckers out, because they think they doing the Lord's work by just fucking even walking today. Like, I marched. I did my, like, I feel like this whole fucking thing is gonna end up with a fucking badge on your chest. Like, I did my part.
Right.
And it's like, okay, all right. And then you're not gonna do shit else for 2 to 4 years. Yep. That's how it feels. Prove me wrong. I'll be happy to be proven wrong. I'll sit here next year and be like, wow, them white people really kept that shit up. Right. I would love to be proven wrong, but if not, it's just a big ass like, hey, rest of the world, don't mind our trash. We're not really that bad, guys. He only hits us sometimes. Why am I wearing these shades? It's right outside. That's how this shit feels right now. And it's just like, y'all trying to cover up a big ass black eye for our country right now when we clearly have a major problem that's going to take a lot of time to unwork, and it's not going to be one symbolic event that's going to get it done.
Right. And it's not a quick fix. White folks want a goddamn quick fix, and that kills me. There's not a quick fix to motherfucking racism. It's decades and centuries of this shit, so it's going to take decades and centuries to fix it. Everybody wants this is the one thing that fixes everything. A lot of people thought that was motherfucking voting Barack Obama in office. He was the one thing that was going to fix all the racism and make you not feel bad about your people fucking up out there. And that's not true. It takes years. It takes decades. It takes people caring about people outside of their own group. It takes you looking within yourself and going, how am I contributing to this problem? What am I doing and what am I saying to make brown people or women or people around me feel uncomfortable, and changing these things and speaking out on these things? And that's very, very, very hard to do. And overall, most people in privilege don't want to do that shit. And the thing is, white people, I gotta call that racism, and white people can't be afraid of the R word. Woo, racism. You know, when you say something is racist, everybody fucking panics and freaks out, because the worst thing you call a white person is racist. And it's one of those things where it's like, you quote unquote might not be racist, but your behavior and the things that you do contribute to the racism that happens in our country. And when that's pointed out, all of a sudden you motherfucking freak out and you retreat into your whiteness, which also causes the problem to continue, and nothing changes.
Yeah, the numbers will be big. There'll be optics. There'll be a big ass symbolism. I just color me skeptical until.
Right. Prove.
Let me know when the next march is that it isn't centered around white women, and let's see what the numbers look like. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Let me know when the next march, when all these white people with women show up for Black Lives Matter. Let me know when the next march, when all these white women show up to support Latino women. Let me know when all these white women show up to support Native Americans. Let me know when these white women show up for LGBTQ rights. Let me know that when they start showing up for those things, then we can talk. Then I'll be like, oh, okay, the white women done woke up. They done motherfucking got information. But until then, I don't believe you. Yes, some of them been there the whole time. They ride or die. Chicks, they down for the cause. But next week, next month, shit, by the time the car get cold, when they turn off, when they take their motherfucking asses back home from Washington, D.C., it will be the motherfucking same.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Because, I mean, a lot of this shit is going to affect them, too.
Right.
So, there's no excuse. You should have a vested interest at this point. So, we'll see if it, like I said, I hope I'm wrong.
Me too. Prove me wrong. That's all. If you prove me wrong, I will get on this mic and be like, you know what? My bad, y'all. When I came out before and I looked and I just thought it was a sham. I thought these white women were faking the funk, you know. But y'all proved me wrong. I'm glad you proved me wrong. And God damn it, Donald Trump only got 4 years. You know, cool. Mm. You know, but like I say, we will see. Because these numbers don't mean a motherfucking thing if them numbers don't take their asses to the polls.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm just still angry about the election, so.
Me too. I'm highly really nothing upset about the election.
Yeah, I'm willing to at least concede. As soon as I heard this idea for this shit, I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to fuck with it. So, and now that it's here, I'm not surprised. I don't. It doesn't matter if y'all would have had 57 black women playing this shit. I still feel like this is such a fucking white idea.
And
like, what are the list of demands? Let's get to the I don't want to do this all day. No, you know, problem. I really didn't even want to talk about this shit at all because I just, it's upsetting. Peak Podcast, we got 5-star reviews on iTunes. J. Marcel B. says, listen every day. I finally stopped procrastinating and went premium. Best decision ever. I love Ryder Karen. Y'all truly helped me get through this thing called life. And I really appreciate y'all, how y'all can find humor in some sometimes dark subject matter. Keep up the good work. We try.
Yes, thank you.
White Women's March segment aside, we try.
You said you weren't going to talk about tomorrow, shit. Let's talk about today.
No. You're right. Like I said, sometimes I just be like, I don't want to talk. Right, but there's got to be a lot of black people that feel just like us. So
right,
it's better to talk about it than to not. You know what I mean? So you're absolutely right.
It was bothering me. That's why I wasn't gonna say that. I was like, well, shit, you gonna bring it up tomorrow? But if we gonna
sometimes I don't even be thinking about that shit. I'd be so mad. I'd just be like, that definitely won't be talking about that shit. You know, like sometimes certain shit happen and people think like, wait, damn, they ain't talking about that. And I'll be like, every other black podcast talked about that, but that one for me was some shit I ain't feel like talking about. You know what I mean? And it don't even be because I think I'm gonna say something different. It's because I feel like everybody is probably thinking the same fucking thing.
Right.
You know, all my friends thinking the same shit. So that's how I felt about Trump. You know, I still don't know what to do now that he's president. I don't want to talk about this nigga every day.
Nope, and we will.
But
not
at the same time, a lot of this shit is going to affect people's lives and be newsworthy. So I don't want to avoid talking about shit we need to talk about too.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, we will talk about him. Don't
I don't want to talk about. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Like, I don't want to talk about Mark Hamill and his fucking Joker impression of Donald Trump. It's none of this shit is funny to me in that kind of way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing cute about it. And I don't want people to cutitize this dangerous man, even knowing we can't do anything. And that's just my personal line. I don't knock anybody else for that shit. But people send me links to shit, and I'm like, why did you think I'd be entertained by this? This is like making fun of Hitler. Yes, I'm making a Hitler comparison. But it's really like Bull Connor. It's like saying, oh, look, we got somebody to say Bull Connor shit, but in Andy Rooney's voice. I'm like, why do you think any of this is cute? You know what I mean? So I just don't think I'm in a laughing position on so much shit right now. So this is how I feel.
Yeah, that's true. And it's probably going, I don't know when, quote unquote, I don't know if I will ever, quote unquote, get over the election. But yeah, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm angry, and this shit will sit on me for a long time, period. If, you know, other people may have, you know, went through their quote-unquote emotional grief and move on, and I'm not giving nobody a motherfucking chance. Fuck you. Nope, I'm not cooperating. Nope, we not getting along. Nope, ain't no kumbaya. I got both my middle fingers up in the motherfucking air, and I will have them up in the air until the end of time. Nope, ain't no crossing bridges. Ain't no reaching across the aisle. Nope, I'm not dancing with you. We ain't even in the same motherfucking vicinity. That's how I feel. Now, that may change, but as of right now, nope, fuck you, your crew, your record label, and everybody that voted for you. Fuck you.
Yeah, he tried. People are trying to, and that's the thing. It's a coping mechanism. I don't judge anyone else for how they cope. I'm not in a place where I can laugh about it right now.
Yep.
That's all.
And I don't think I ever will be, because it's not, to me, it's nothing to joke
about. I can't say how I feel tomorrow or whatever. I can't say how I feel a year from now. I mean, a lot of shit that George W. Bush did was terrible. But my coping mechanism is, at some point, I do normally start laughing at shit. So I'm not saying I always feel like this, but none of this shit at the moment feels like people really be thinking this shit like, I remember people, he spelled president wrong. I'm like, the fuck, like, that's the thing that, okay, this nigga's gonna be running our country. This is terrible. Like, you know, so that's just how I feel at the moment. And hopefully, you know, it will, you know, change at some point. I'm roboting. Okay. But hopefully it will change at some point, because, you know, I hate waking up and sometimes I just be having, like, day be going fine, and I just start thinking, like, motherfucking Trump is going to be running this country.
Yeah, the reality of it, and I'm not even going to lie. Like I said, I stayed away from everything associated with the inauguration and everything around that. But I'm not going to lie. Like, yesterday, I got really, really, really super duper duper sad. I was just sitting there playing my video game, and all of a sudden I got motherfucking sad, because the reality is that Barack Obama is, like, officially gone. Like, he's gone, he's not all at office, and he ain't coming back, y'all. And I got really, really sad, because the reality of it is that you know, when you really sit down and think about it, it's some shit that will tremendously affect you. So that's why a lot of times you have to do things that's good for your mental health.
Yeah, man. I've like, some people have been clinical about that shit, but I've really tried to give black people space to kind of say whatever the fuck they feel. Cause as much as, I think people feel they want to, like, clinically diagnose it, and they want to kind of callously be like, you know, oh, you guys love y'all some Barack Obama. Y'all deify him. Oh, y'all think he perfect. And like, you had those people that can't wait to, like, shit on other people. You have the people that are like, he was a great man and he did the best job he could. Don't y'all dare talk about my Obama. Like, you got that. You got the, you know, the, they all the same and I'm just, none of this matters people, and Trump will be good cause it'll be anarchy and shit. And I'm just like, all these people trying to find a way to cope, cause it's fucking ridiculous what's happening to the country, sir. You know? So, all right. Next review. This feedback show is gonna be all over the place. Shannon Beans one says, fabulous 5 stars. This podcast is life. I love the variety of topics and discussion from different angles, and the love of truth that it promotes. They have so much fun and keep it real all the time. It's perfect balance of intelligent conversation, hilarity, and ratchetness. Feels just like home. Rod and Karen do a wonderful job. Thank you for all the hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Woohoo! From SNS Stokes. Or SN Stokes, who says, so glad I found this podcast. Ryder Karen are insightful and funny on everything from culture to politics to the general whackness of the world. I love hearing folks from my home state of NC sharing perspective on the podcast waves. Thank you. Shout out to NC.
Thank you, baby.
And how can you not smile when Karen says, woohoo? They need to make that and her ha ha into tones so the rest of us can play them whenever fun things happen in our life, that we are going to need that in for 2017.
Yes, a lot of times people go, you're so positive, because overall, y'all, I'm a very, very positive person, because a lot of times that joy got to be internal.
Unless you bring up a white woman march.
Now,
then it's on.
What? Chris, that joint becomes a fire, but overall I'm happy.
And then on Stitcher we got one 5-star review. Been a while. Chris from Hawaii left a 5-star review since he said I want to leave another 5-star review on iTunes. I said, well, it only really allows you to leave one per account. Mm-hmm. But Stitcher allows you to leave as many as you want, so yes. He said I'm gonna go on Stitcher and leave it, and thank you, Chris, for doing that.
Thank you.
And anybody else that's thinking like I want to leave another iTunes review, yo, go on Stitcher and leave us you can leave as many as you want, so leave us a review. Just search the Blackout Tips on Stitcher and it'll come up.
Yeah, and before you move on, for those of you that want to leave a review on Stitcher, it's a tidbit harder to leave a review on than iTunes. Actually, the easiest way is just to Google the Black Guy Who Tips Stitcher review page. It will pop up in the top left-hand corner. It has 5 stars. If you click on it and actually write a review, the thing about Stitcher is that check your email, because Stitcher actually sends an email confirmation. So if you review for Stitcher and you were like, oh, I hadn't seen it, check your email. Be sure it didn't go to junk. Once you click on that email and it and approve it through Stitcher, then your review will post through Stitcher actually on the page. For those of you that have iOS devices, Stitcher allows you to leave comments on the individual episodes. We don't see those don't go to the review page. So if you were like, well, I wrote a review and you left it on the individual page, we don't see those. We only see the reviews that actually go to the page. So we thank you for everybody, and continue to leave those reviews on Stitcher. Sounds like Stitcher's getting a little bit better about that. So we thank you all for your iTunes and Stitcher reviews. Go ahead, baby.
No problem, I wasn't rushing you. Thank you. All right, so we got one from Chris. He says, that 1355, that white boy. Man, I was laughing all the way through this. Rod, Karen, and Ira were killing it all show. Ira Hobbs, yep. From Tyler Perry to Mariah Carey, and Rod's nonsensical but hilarious conspiracy theory. You call it nonsense. But Russia elected the president of this country, so I think you might want to rethink how you feel about that. It was all fire. A treat and a mystery to me for each show is how they come up with the show titles. And every time I'm like, yeah, that's a good one. Can't say enough about this podcast. I listen every day. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with these titles sometimes. Sometimes I'm just sitting in this room for hours like, but what did we talk about? What was the joke? We had episode 1361 on the website where you can leave a comment and vote in the polls. And we had a feedback show. It was the TBGWT calendar giveaway, which we mailed them all out except for one, and I actually had to order a few more because I had to give some to some other people. But we might be doing a calendar giveaway one more time before the end of the month.
We just say heads up.
Yeah, everybody comes through later like I should listen live. I always miss out. So
you have been forewarned. It's your chance.
I'm gonna tell you what, guys. Okay, next Saturday is what, the 28th? Okay, next Saturday, 28th, we're gonna give away the rest of those calendars. Okay, it's a feedback show. If you're not there, too bad. Okay, I don't know how many is gonna give away. It's probably only gonna be a few, like, because I only order like 10 more or something, and I have to give some friends. But yeah.
Check your emails. Okay, check your emails.
Or follow us on Crowdcast. They ain't even check your emails. Yeah, you need to be following us on Crowdcast.
Click the little heart, and mm-hmm. Every time we go live, it'll send it out. You know, go to the page, blackouttips.com, sign up for the email. You get one there, but the easiest way is Crowdcast. Follow us on social media, I missed it. You need to be able to be on top of it. That's the only way you're going to know.
Yeah. All right, so Steve Harvey visiting Trump, yay or nay? One of the very few times in the history of this podcast, 100% nay. 100% nay. Nobody, not one of you thought that was a good idea.
Not nobody trying to go against the grain.
Lance says there's literally no reason for Harvey to meet with Trump. In scenario A, Harvey is giving him cover against claims of racism. Trump can now list a ton of black people he's met and talked to when accused of racism. In scenario B, Trump is actually soliciting ideas from Harvey instead of someone who knows something about anything. Sad. I'll add this too. it ain't a coincidence which black people he's met with.
Oh no, it's not. He's not trying to meet with people that are experts in the field, people that actually have degrees and actually really, really smart. He's not meet with them.
Oh, I take it further than that, child. I'm talking about he is not meeting with black people that love black people.
Correct.
So feel how you want to feel. I know that's some of y'all favorite like radio hosts and shit, but a lot of them niggas believe in that respectability and anti-black shit and misogyny and shit like that, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it's Kanye West, it's Jim Brown, who's done great work with gangs but still ultimately believes a lot of fucked up shit about black people, Steve Harvey. You know, I'm not surprised. You know, I just feel bad for all the coons that ain't got to go yet. I mean, somebody got to let Charles Barkley in. You know, I'm sure Charlemagne, Stephen A. Smith sitting somewhere like, what about me? I did all that cooning and I ain't even got to get put on. This is fucked up. And you know what? In the spirit of equality, they right. You know, Diamond and Silk ain't put in all that work for you to ignore them. Let them in too, Trump.
Yep.
Let them in too. Anyway, yeah, Warren Sapp said some shit today. Like, yeah, let them niggas in, dog. They did way too much work for you stomping and providing cover for, you know, get Zoe Saldana in there. Get her a meeting. I mean, fuck it. If we gonna have the racism that's existing in this country, then I'ma at least root for the black people to get ahead while being anti-black. And maybe they can get some money too, okay? Somebody go
that's what dig up GOP. Equality.
Yeah, go dig up GOP black chick. She needs some work, okay? Maybe she could pay her bills while this dude's in office. Episode 1362 TV Tangent, where we had Three Fifths Podcast on. Prof Corey says, another reason to listen to TBGWT to expand your vocabulary. Coonerific mannerisms, LOL. Big Bang Theory says, my God, I just died laughing at Karen screaming, I know my porn, sir. She was very upset, guys. I apologize.
Try to tell me. I don't know.
I didn't mean to insult you. You were like, pistols at noon.
Yes.
Slapped me
yes.
with a glove she had hidden in her jacket.
I know, we will square out, sir.
AJ the engineer says, this is a great episode and I'm glad you guys had the Three Fifths crew on the show. I love the TV tangent y'all went on. Cheetahs was the shit back in the day. I had to hold back my laughter at work when y'all talked about the stabbing episode. If I remember correctly, wasn't that cheating dude on a boat? Yep, he was. He got stabbed on a boat. I'm sorry, but I'm not approaching anyone who's willing to sail to international waters in order to cheat. Right. But like y'all said, Joey had that nothing will happen swagger and went aboard and proceeded to get shanked. I don't even think it was a boat. Like it wasn't even like a seafaring vessel. It was just like a
small little boat.
Yeah, like a boat you have at a lake. And then he got stabbed.
A fishing boat.
I'm laughing now writing this because Joey instantly had that help me please look on his face. And the cameraman kept filming. He did. I think the best parts of the show were when they would replay hidden audio of the cheetah. Those people would be all distraught, but I'd be sitting there not surprised at all. Nobody ever was. It'd also be funny on the hidden audio when they heard the cheetah say, trying to lay that Mac down thinking they aren't being watched. Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah. The best is, when they're fucking somebody that the person already knows. When it's like, look, Brenda, and she's like, and he's like, do you know that name? It's like, yes, you know that name. He's been fucking Brenda for years. She is in denial.
Yeah.
I'm still listening to the episode laughing out loud. Karen making up her own porn genre, Mandingo. Karen was like, I said what I said. But my ass wasn't about to research that topic to find out. Y'all have a great weekend and cheer for the Falcons player, AJ.
Well, one thing about it, people hit me up on Twitter and one of our friends hit me up with the I too order a la carte on with my porn. So I know other people. You're welcome.
Y'all go to the off the menu section.
You are welcome.
Kung Fushi says the greatest episode of Catfish ever was the Bow Wow episode for the simple fact that someone from my small ass Southwest Georgia hometown made it on TV. The world knows her as D Pimpin, but she'll forever be Maddie Douchey Brown. Who lived right up the street growing up from me. That shit had me on the floor screaming
and crying, laughing, and ashamed all at the same damn time. So true. That was a good episode. Byron Taylor says, love the episode. Awesome to have the Three-Fifths crew on the show. I enjoy your podcast weekly. The rant on catfish gave me life. The episode with Rod still is one of my favorites. One episode that still gets me is the Elijah and Solana episode. First off, she was fine. Second, I swear I think her boyfriend was down for that cuckold action because he had to know his girl was gonna go see Elijah and smash if she found out he was the real deal. Then he gets a matching tattoo with Elijah and she gets a matching tattoo with Elijah and went home and married her boyfriend in Delaware. Lastly, I need to put an APB out on this nigga, Elijah's brother, because that dude never came back from the basement. That nigga's quote-unquote brother answers the door, then tells Nevi, Max, and Solana that old boy is downstairs. It took Elijah so long to show up, they had to go to commercial between before he came upstairs. After his brother went to get him, nah, them niggas the same dude. We never saw his brother again, and Elijah's hair was so fucked up. I don't believe you. Catfish, you need more people. Keep up the awesome work, y'all. Love y'all. Thank you. Falcons Diva says, whenever I download a show on RSS Radio, I'm always intrigued by the show titles. This title was so on point. I've only watched 3 full Catfish episodes, and y'all talked about 2 of them. Thoroughly enjoyed the Three-Fifths show. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maya B says, man, watching Catfish reminds me of freshman year undergrad when I used to live blog that shit every morning. I think my favorite episode are the ones that could easily be transformed into some horror movies, like on some Swim fan shit. It was really recent when maybe a year or two ago, where the girl was being tormented by someone who created a fake page profile of Felicia, the catfishy. The fake profile was basically starting off. Yes, I remember her, the black girl. Yeah, and then, yeah, the fake profile was talking shit about people online, but it wasn't her. So basically, if somebody might have ran up on her and whooped her ass because of some shit that they thought she said, and it wasn't even her.
Mm-mm. She was like, who are you? What's happening? Yeah, they were going around harassing people using her picture and her name and shit.
Yeah, so when they finally met the one controlling the fake profile, the girl is laughing and giggling, acting like shit is cute. For once, Nev was shook. I remember seeing on a gossip site of the catfish video and herself and basically acting like what she did was harmless and somewhat justified. Yeah, them catfish need to lose you as hell. That's why they be scared. They all be scared to me. Cause I'll be like, yo, what reality are you in where any of this was okay? Cause all of them think it's okay.
All of them.
And then even them always had that with the least craziest ones. Cause some of them are so fucked up that they really can't even do the and my mama said I was ugly when I was 3. You know, they can't even do that scene.
It's like, oh, you just crazy.
Yeah, some of them are just like, this is what I do. This is what I do. But then even then, a lot of those that be like, whatever, it's funny, ha ha ha, a lot of them always had the worst sob story, the ones that think I don't have a conscience, I'm crazy. And then eventually it's like, I was diagnosed with a skin disease when I was 4. I've never left the hospital until today to meet you guys. It's like, oh man, your life was sad. Eve says, I used to watch reality shows when they first became popular, like The Real World and Road Rules, until I realized how scripted most of them were. But I occasionally caught a few, like Catfish. My favorite two catfishes are the one where the girl thought she was dating Bow Wow because the catfish, which turned out to be a lesbian woman, has sent her $10,000. Now her first clue should have been the money. Bow Wow doesn't have $10,000 to give away like that. Ha! Shade. My second favorite episode was a guy who thought he was in a relationship with Katy Perry for 6 years, even though she was married for some of that time. So when he met the girl who was catfishing him, she was actually pretty. And let me tell you, this guy was a straight up herd. There was no way he would have gotten a girl like that in real life, let alone Katy Perry. And even after meeting the girl, he thought Katy put her up to it. He still believes he was talking to Katy Perry by the end of the show. Morons like this are the reason that Trump got in office. Well, you know what? That guy said, as long as he can have his Affordable Care Act, Obamacare can kick rock. So
he can get Obamacare and go?
Yeah. The poll was, should the Hawks GM have gotten in trouble? Yes or no? Very simple poll. 93% of y'all said yes, and 7% said no. I'm happy with those numbers. I wish it was 100%, but honestly, I can't expect 100% from you guys on anything except Steve Harvey, apparently.
Apparently so.
But yeah, I'm glad he got this one. I wish we knew what it was. I doubt it was very serious anyway. but people was ready to jump in front of that bullet for that dude. 1363 Eagle Sandwiches, and this is when we had Janelle James on, you know, who, if you're in Nashville, and she couldn't tell us at the time, but now she can, she's opening for Chris Rock. Yeah, she'll be in Nashville for the next 5 days, and she'll be opening for Chris Rock.
If it wasn't 8 hours away, we make it, but you know, yeah, that's about an 8 hour trip for us.
Yeah, she definitely earned that, and
she's funny.
Yeah, and you know, and also, I mean, credit where credit's due. Obviously, it's because of our podcast. I mean, her hard work and skill and dedication and stuff aside, I think she'd tell you this too, couldn't have done it without us. And that's really what it's about. So yeah, if you're there, go see her, man. Tell her we sent you. Mm-hmm. That might be a situation where you already have tickets, though. I doubt a Chris Rock show isn't already sold out, but if you can grab a ticket, yeah, man,
grab one of the cheap seats.
Go see a very funny comedian in Janelle James, and while you're there, stick around and watch Chris Rock. I heard that guy's okay. Eagle Sandwiches, we had one comment. Three snaps and a twirl says, I get so pissed off when people don't know that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same thing.
Me too, baby.
It's my job to help people navigate the healthcare system and figure out what option is best for them. And if I simply made a buck bonus every time I had to explain that they're the same thing, I would have been retired to an Italian villa at the ripe old age of 25. My first month on the job, I was at an outreach health fair in this really rural area of Northern Virginia. This old white guy came up to us and started asking questions about what the Affordable Care Act was. So we explained that it's all income-based insurance and how some of it works. He gets really excited and said that it sounded great and that he and his family could really use something like that. Then he asked how he had never heard of it before. The woman that I was with laughed and said, well, you have. It's Obamacare. This motherfucker turns red and his face twisted in anger. He immediately starts screaming at us about how we were ruining the country and destroying lives and stormed off. He was big mad about something he was so ignorant on. Yep, and people refuse to fucking see that. Everybody just keeps... This country just ain't ready, dog. We not ready, man. We never have been ready, but we never will be ready. Because we ain't ready if... When we can't look at that dude and be like, so because a black man's name on it, you mad? When you can't say that without him being offended, and then all the people that like feel like him being offended, and then all the people that don't feel like him but they know him and they know people like him and they feel offended on his behalf, well, you can't have that conversation. It's all fruitless. The poll was, would you eat eagle meat, yes or no? 62% said no, 38% said yes, and I say yes.
Cause I bet the fried eagle wings be flames.
Right. So because the country that enslaved us tell us that we can't eat a bird because they like it, I'm supposed to not fry that bitch up and put some Texas hot pepper? You crazy.
Probably the only reason why I hadn't had any because it had been on the endangered list.
You think I want to put some Texas Pete on that motherfucker and eat the shit out of an eagle wing?
Barbecue to hell, slow roasted.
Y'all done lost y'all ever loving mind. I'll eat the fuck out of wingle. Ooh, eagle.
Eagle pulled pork. Nigga, what?
Those aren't even the same animal, Karen. What?
Eagle pulled pork. You take the eagle and you shred it up like pork. You know, cause everything can be motherfucking pulled pork.
We had one comment. Demetrius Dixon said, hey, seasoning and butter fried with some mac mash and pan fried Jiffy. Good goddamn. I bet it's better than deer meat. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be better than that motherfucking venison, dog. And y'all swear by that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had deer meat.
Eagle pulled pork.
Yes!
You're not allowed to talk the rest of the show. Steve Harvey was right. I apologize, Steve.
You act like some nigga wanna be like, hey, y'all want that eagle pie? Something out here for you, dog. It's shredded up and everything. I put it on the slow cooker.
I wouldn't eat that shit. That might be rat. Sound like something Hustle Man on Martin to sell. No thanks. Evie also said, left a comment on episode 1364, Menstrual Phobia. EVE says DL Hughley gets it wrong a lot of times, but he's no hero for the people. But what he said about Steve Harvey was spot on. I'm still not allowing him to come to my cookout, but I might have someone him to play home
wrapped up in some foil.
Yeah, you know, the thing I like about DL Hughley is he does kind of remind you of, like, well, for me anyway, like a woke ass uncle or something, mm-hmm. where they always passionate and
always.
I think one of the things that, unfortunately for him, his cringe humor shit doesn't do well on the internet, and I don't know why comedians haven't figured that out. You just can't. I mean, the difference is with him, and I do respect it, he don't back down from his shit and he don't apologize.
I really
do respect that. I know that people might not be able to relate or understand. I'm just so sick of people who say shit and I know they mean it and they only back down because it's not popular.
Right.
Okay. I would rather people be like DL Hughley, where it's like, I'm gonna make this joke about Carrie Fisher and her mama dying, and y'all motherfuckers can be mad on Twitter if y'all want, but I don't give a damn. I thought it was funny. Cause that's something though, I'm like, yeah, I can't, like, I have nothing to say. And it leaves the ball in your court for whether or not you like him or laugh at that or whatever. That to me is what comedy should be. It shouldn't be, well, how do I get most people to laugh but provide no real perspective and no.
And you know, and now you're not offending somebody. Well, yeah. Shit, the thing about comedy, I'll look sad. Regardless of how big or small, it's always gonna be an offended group.
Yeah. So you know, I don't mind, like, right. If you can, like, I don't care that you, like, some of the shit is like, obviously people complaining, oh, right. These college campuses is too strict, you can't say anything. Well, then don't do a college show, you know, go to the bars and shit that you've been going to. But then some of the shit is like, yeah, I said it, and there's something I respect about, yeah, I said it. You know, I don't know if other people feel that way, but I definitely, and I respect that about DL Hughley, basically. The poll was easy. The mom who threw a surprise period party for her daughter. Yay, nay, or meh. Yay, 11%. So very few people feel like me. Meh, 43%. So a lot of people are like, whatever. Your daughter, I don't give a fuck. And then nay, 46%. Say no, don't do that, don't do it. So I don't know, I guess I'm a man on the island. I've never had a period, so like I said, I'm speaking from a level of privilege to be able to say that, but I don't know, I still feel how I feel. I feel like, you know, her mom's not a bad person, or you know, and I think
she wasn't doing it in a malicious way, a malicious manner, or anything like that.
Yeah, she didn't know it was going to be on the internet.
Correct.
And I really do think our society is period phobic. Menstrual phobia, as I call it.
And I think, I'll just say, a lot of women, whether they admit it or not, having a period and being on the cycle, especially your first experience, is fucking traumatizing. For most women, it was not a smooth process at all.
Yeah, so I mean, shout out to the people that were kind, because some people were like, I appreciate you that you're like positive, Rod. I appreciate you that y'all had this conversation. I appreciate that, all this stuff. Thank you for writing in and saying that, because, you know, I really didn't realize it would be that fucking unpopular. 11%. Like, that's pretty unpopular. I guess I was out on a limb there.
Right, because for most people, you know, truth be told, they view, you know, not having a period as a bad thing, but they just, a lot of people feel like that's an individual thing, it's something private, something you should keep to yourself, you know, because, and a lot of that boils down to society telling you to shut the fuck up about your period, too, and that's something people don't want to take into consideration of why they feel how they feel about this type of thing.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm sure it's traumatic anyway, but to me, it didn't seem unhealthy. It felt like her mom was one of those very positive moms, like, this is going to happen anyway, let's have fun and make it
as enjoyable, something where
you don't feel
you
know,
feel shamed.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. I don't know that every house can operate like
and,
that.
And it came from a very, very good spirit, I can tell you that much. At least that's how it seemed.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We got a couple of voicemails. Let's play these.
Hey, Rod and Karen. My name is Julie. I'm from New York. I've been listening to you guys for over a year now, and I finally pulled the trigger and have become a sustaining member. Because I really want to support what you do. I really love the way you guys express yourselves. Additionally, I also just love to see young black folks doing what they do. I'm sure almost old enough to be your mom, both of you, but you know, I am just busting my button to see all my young brothers and sisters out here really thinking critically and speaking truth to power. Continue doing what you do, and I'm glad that in some small way I can help to support you. All the best. Bye-bye.
Aw.
Thank you, baby.
Really nice. Mm-hmm. And listen, I don't know if you're old enough to be my mom or not, but my mom's a really cool lady. All right, so... and when it comes to getting old, the only choices are get old or die. So
that's why I said I
feel like we all trying to get old, you know.
Everybody trying to get old, honey. I'm not ashamed of getting old. I'm not ashamed of my age. Because people go, oh, it's my birth down depressive. The other alternative is death, sweetie. So you might as well cheer up and bright up and be happy.
Yeah. And we do appreciate you listening and whatnot, you know.
We do.
That's the thing, man. People always say like, well... I'm gonna give this so and so an excuse because they older than us and they be saying fucked up shit, but they just older than us. But it's like, it's a lot of people that are older than us that be like, no, that makes sense. Right. You know, what's it gonna bother me to be inclusive or whatever? So I don't know. Let me play Ty's. We got Ty Diamond calling in.
Hey, Rod. Hey, Karen. What's up? Giving you guys a call from a plantation down in South America. giving you guys a call before I get ready to clock in. Start working with NASA. I saw one of your posts, Rod, about the inauguration, and agree completely. The same thing I'm on is that people were making fun of, you know, the inauguration numbers. And, you know, just like you allocated as well, you know, he had 62 million votes. Or 61 million, doesn't even matter. That, you know, he's president. People making fun of the numbers, no one showed up, but no. You know, these aren't your, you know, stereotypical type of racists or bigots that come out in the rallies with the big old monster trucks and say, yee-haw, America. You know, these are the executives, the judges, the police officers. People who are, you know, savvy and smart enough to know that they have something to lose. I mean, it's easy for us, you know, it's kind of like intelligent type people to get the stereotypical racist to be able to say, like, why would you do this or why would you make this outburst? We're glad you do it because now that we know you're going to lose your job. But, I mean, the people that are smarter than that, you know, they're out there. So, you know, making all these jokes as far as for that, I mean, if it's funny, it's funny. But, you know, it's not making fun of someone who's running for a campaign. The numbers were there. They made him president. It was enough of them to make him president. So, good job on that article you wrote, and continue to spread that word. I mean, I know we got to find humor where it may be, but, you know, I think that's missing kind of the point as far as what's really going on is that there are a lot more, and that's probably, I mean, and there have been a lot more smarter bigots than we know, or more savvy, I should say. So, definitely, you know, continue to point that out, and you guys be good out here, man. It's about to get real. Ugh. All right, let me go ahead and get back out in these fields. I was playing. I work in the house.
Ty Diamond gonna be starring in the Hidden Figures too, but they gonna be working for NASA instead of NASA.
Yeah. In there with Justin.
Mm-hmm. Hidden niggas too. They was really responsible for the cotton gin. No white man could think of that. Eli Whitney, my ass. Guarantee a black person thought of that because it was trying to save their fingers in time.
Come on.
But yeah, man, we already kind of talked about the Medium thing, piece I wrote. So, So yeah. I think we covered it.
Yeah, you stay safe out there. Stay safe out there. Clean up the house and mess now.
Yo, this is Ro from the A, man. I just want to say I appreciate you guys, man. Y'all be putting out work, man. I can't even front with you. It is what it is. I appreciate it. Y'all keep me sane when I jump in my car or when I'm sitting around playing Destiny. Y'all take care, man. Appreciate it. Peace.
Oh, man.
Peace. Thank you, baby.
And speaking of doing our thing, just put up another episode of This Too Much with Bossy yesterday. I forgot to mention, so that should be on your feed as well. I'm gonna switch over to the new session, Karen.
Okay.
And then we can finish off with the emails.
Did you
want to
pick the phone lines or
yay? Hell no, I don't want to pick up no phone lines. Shit. Must be lost your mind.
No, I have not.
Don't do it. I can't even really play my clips right now. I got my computer deleting all my excess files from the podcast. I mean, I might could play the clips. I don't know. The shit might crash.
Y'all keep donating so we can upgrade.
Nah, it's not that the computer can't. Nah, it's hard in the background.
Okay, just grinding.
It's doing a good job, actually, with all the shit that it's doing. It's deleting like 300 megabytes or gigabytes of stuff right now.
I'm making space.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons it was running hard lately.
And slow.
Yeah, I always forget. Like, I need to delete all my excess files on here. This is so nerdy.
You mean stuff that it don't use?
Yeah. Like, after I make a... Yeah, I don't need all these extra files on here. So I had to delete them. All right. Okay. What's wrong? Did it not work?
No, I was setting... I hit enter and it... You put me over.
Yeah.
I invite everybody to the new session. Wait a minute, the screen changed. All
right, yeah. I'm going to invite you on screen, too.
No problem.
Just give me 1 second because, like I said, moving kind of slow. Because if a nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy.
That's my jam. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, okay.
Cut me off. That's my jam.
Sound like every black woman dealing with customer service ever.
What?
Because if a nigga cut me off, I'm going to fuck crazy.
And make a big ass scene up in this bitch.
Mm-hmm. So are we back on screen yet? Can everybody see us?
I see me. I see you. I don't know what they see.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see you. All right, cool. Let's get to the emails. People left emails for the show, and they probably want us to read them.
I know, right?
Lionel writes in, malicious prosecution. What's going on, Ryder? Karen, happy belated anniversary to you guys. I believe it was on Tuesday's show where you talked about the lawsuit against Marilyn Mosby by 5 of the officers she brought charges against in the Freddie Gray case. Thought I'd clarify the malicious prosecution issue that the judge allowed to proceed. Now, in real life terms, you guys are right. It's some bullshit. But in the legal sense, malicious prosecution is just a claim that a defendant can bring against anyone responsible for pressing charges or filing a civil lawsuit against them if the charges/lawsuit have no basis and was intentionally or maliciously done to harm the defendant. So what does that mean in Marilyn Mosby's case? Well, as a prosecutor, she enjoys absolute immunity from this claim. But her offer of independent investigation of this situation. So the judge is saying that it's an investigator, since she contributed to the charges, she is not immune to being sued for malicious prosecution on the face of the complaint. Now, I know that the state AG is appealing the ruling, and I think the issue has a chance to go to the Supreme Court. It just so happens that absolute immunity for prosecutors and law enforcement is a pretty hot button issue where a lot of people are calling for us in. Not for situations like Marilyn Mosby's per se, but more for situations where police officers or prosecutors trump up charges against citizens, black and brown people, with no consequence to them personally. Now, I say all that to say, I think you guys are right about that the message to prosecutors is being sent loud and clear. If you try to fuck with officers who unjustly kill black people, there will be consequences, which is precisely why there needs to be special outside prosecutors unrelated to law enforcement in those jurisdictions, pursuing these cases. Lastly, first of all, thank you for all that information. I figured most of that, and because, you know, it does seem that prosecutorial immunity could be obviously wielded as a bludgeon. I know it has been in the past. I know that's been like cases in like Ferguson and shit. Like people have been like, okay. And many times the prosecutors and district attorneys and all that shit are really in bed with the police and the police union and beholden to them. And they're part of the problem. But yeah, I just think it's ironic the one time they decide that we think this is bad is when the officers are on the end of the other stick. You know what I mean? So that's why, I mean, we kind of are saying the same thing, which is we know by the fact that we know that they don't challenge it any other time is how we know that this is bullshit. And it's clearly to target her personally. Lastly, I was smiling when you guys discussed Sterling K. Brown. I've known about him since 2008. I was dating a girl that watched the show Army Wives, where he played a psychiatrist and a husband to a high-ranking officer in the military. So he oftentimes was kind of the backbone for the wives stationed there with him. This was around the time that Mike Vick came back to the NFL, so I always called Sterling Mike Vick. Then I watched the show. The show was actually pretty good, and he was one of the better, if not best, actors on the show. So when he resurfaced on the OJ show, I knew he'd kill it, and he did. I'm glad he's getting his due and becoming more mainstream now. Anyways, sorry for the long email, guys. Take care. Thanks, thank LJ. You, appreciate you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Steven writes in, Dear Rod and Karen, listening to the feedback show and was amused by the dust up about Vivica A. Fox. Didn't anybody remember when she played a stripper in Independence Day? I usually listen to the podcast during my daily walk. My wife occasionally chides me for laughing out loud because people sometimes stare at me. I wouldn't care anyway, but I'm legally blind and I can't see people staring at me anyway. Laughing with you guys is as good for me as my daily exercise. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Be safe out there.
Yeah, appreciate you, Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. TV Tangent. This is by Jacqueline. Jacqueline says, Hey, Roddick, just wanted to comment on Steve Harvey taking his coon ass to visit Trump. He's a serious embarrassment to black folks in Northeast Ohio, mainly Cleveland. Like you said, Trump won't invite any serious black policymakers or anyone who can make a real difference. He picked him because he's a joke, literally and figuratively. I stopped liking this nigga and found out he's a deadbeat father to his kids up here in Cleveland. Damn. Wow.
I didn't know that.
Allegedly. I mean, you know, comedy license. I don't know that nigga, but allegedly. I'm just saying. Karen had me laughing when she said, like a man, think like a coon, laugh my ass off. It was pretty funny. Art writes in, tweaked audio. I just wanted to say thank you. I was able to get some Bluetooth earbuds and save almost $20.
Woohoo!
Hey, glad to hear it, buddy. Sugar Bear writes in, TV Tangent episode was hilarious. Hi, Rod and Karen. This episode had me at work cracking up. I used to love watching Cheetahs and Jenny Jones, too. Your show is informative and is my trusted news source. I have learned so much and have grown a lot because of the topics that you cover, especially the gay news. I work with a transgender man, and I've become sympathetic to his plight. Management HR won't use male pronouns or his chosen name when referring to him until he changes his name legally, and because we will get questions like, who is that? I kid you not, my supervisor said that to me. Sigh. It's that privilege thing, man. Like, it's like an offense to your senses that you would have to learn or treat somebody differently, or I got to call you a different name to respect you? Jesus Christ. I mean, how am I ever supposed to do that? You know, that's terrible. And with so many states not having any protections for LGBT people, and probably even less are going to have them now, I mean, you literally could lose your job over demanding that they call you by the name that you want to be called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, nobody else, they couldn't do that to me. Like, I was like, nope, my name is Rod. Stop calling me Roderick. They wouldn't be like, fired, motherfucker. Get out of here. And we don't have to even worry about it. Yeah, we don't have to worry about anything.
No unemployment for you.
On a lighter note, your show has made me aware of Hotep niggas. I don't have a Twitter or Instagram account, so I live vicariously through the two of you. I met a guy we hung out for about 2 hours. He said that women were the earth, man seed was intended to be planted in her, blah, blah, blah. And then he used the word Hotep. A silent alarm went off in my head and I broke. I thought they only existed on Twitter. You two saved me. Thanks for out of care. Many blessings to you and yours.
Y'all know what? Hoteps walk among us, y'all. Mm-hmm. They might not be on the Instagram blog. They might not even be in the Hotep, but they are out there, and you ain't got to have no Instagram or Twitter to run into a Hotep. Y'all just pay attention to what they talking about. It's clues. When they start talking about kings and queens and the salt of the earth and alkalines, then my flags run.
And lastly, Leah would like to wish a happy birthday to her fiance Josh.
Oh,
there you go. She wrote in with that, and I hope you are having a happy birthday, Josh. Mm-hmm. And you have a very thoughtful fiance, so you picked the right one. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Yes.
Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.